the multiplication took place in Jesus' hands. Jesus kept giving it to them. As Jesus gave it to them, they got it. But it happened in the hands of Jesus. And it is a continual thing. As he broke it, it was coming back into his hand continually as he gave it away. And Jesus had told them to do the same thing. And if I were to tell you to do that, you would think you couldn't do it. But we want to deal with that. Amen. we're going to get with that later, but I believe. But here's what we must understand is that Jesus took the food. And the Bible says, you must understand that Jesus blessed God, not the food. You see, the word bless there means, really, we get our word eulogy from it. It means to speak well of. Blessed, amen. It means to speak well of. And so you could be translated thanks, to give thanks. It can be translated to give thanks. And in other writings of these gospel, you find out that he used the word thanks. Amen. He used the word thanks in other places in the Bible. In Mark 8:6, he used the word, he gave thanks and break it. And but when you bless food, you really are supposed to be, whether it has a dual application is another subject left up to those who are debating theologians. But in this context, Jesus looked up. He did not look down, did he? And he blessed God. Or he thanked God for what he was about to do. He thanked God for being able to take care of this issue. And that's what really brought the blessing in. I guess what I'm saying is, when you learn to be thankful over a little, I think about a lot of people aren't blessed, and I don't want to get ahead of the sermon because of the fact, and God just gave me this, we complain about what we have, but it's how you treat what you have that determines what else you can get. It's when I thank God and show some appreciation for what I do have, what little I do have. You see, if you cannot be thankful or appreciative of a little, God won't give you a lot. You may have a little choir, but how are you acting in the little choir? I wish I had a witness. How you treating that group? If you treat little things, you may have a little church, but how you acting as a little church is how you treat a little that determines if you will get a lot. The test is with the little. And what happens here simply is that what God is saying is that he often always start off with just a little. Now, like I said, he could have did the miracle without the fish or the loaves. Couldn't he? Didn't need neither one. But it's those little opportunities we have. What God is concerned about is how we treat our opportunities. And if you appreciate a little, then it will grow. Amen. I think I'm going to answer this. The truth of the matter is that when you treat a little bit right, What does that do? That improves the quality of it. And somebody said quality breeds quantity. Did you know that a lot of things are stunted because the quality is bad? If you got good quality, it's going to pay its own bill. Amen. People will go back and get it. They may pay a whole lot for it, but they'll go back and get this. Why you best know it's expensive? Because it's good quality. Quality pays its own bills. And when you are appreciative, and you thank God for what you already have. See, most folk waiting to do right when they get something else. We're going to act right when we get this. We're going to act right when we get that. He said, no. If you are faithful over a few things, that is only after then will you be, amen. Jesus took the bread and he thanked God, turned his head away from the bread. He thanked God. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't bless your food. Amen. Thank God for your food. But actually, exegetically, if you interpret it correctly, what you really should be doing is thanking God for the food. Oh, Lord, have mercy. The truth of the matter is, when you think about 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, he says, you can eat what you want to. As in verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 4 says, if you eat it with thanksgiving, all things are to be received, not with blessing, but with thanksgiving. I can thank God. 1 Timothy 4:3 talks about different types of a thing that was previously ceremonially unclean, but because Jesus' blood has washed away our sins, you can thank God that it does not matter whether it's clean or unclean. It has nothing to do with salvation. Well, y'all ain't got tired of this part. The truth of the matter is that. He looked up. I'm here to tell you this morning that it is not explained. But I want to tell you, as I digress from this sermon, for you to recognize that Jesus will bless you when you start appreciating what little you have, treating what he already gave you right. Whatever it is, appreciate that house, that car, that suit, that job, that, because quality will carry its own weight. Quality carries its own weight, and you won't have anything of quality that won't grow. Jesus handled it with such quality. How do you treat your job? How do you treat your home? How do you treat your church? Don't allow the word volunteer to rob you of quality. Don't let the devil slip that in on you. That quality, that volunteer don't mean good quality. Amen. Don't buy into that. Because if you do, you won't get good quantity. It's how the folk act who already on the board. It's how the folk act who already standing at the door. It's how the folk act who already singing. It's how the preacher act who's already in the pulpit. It's how he act with what he already has. That is going to determine the inherent potential growth that will come out of it. Well, the fact of the matter is, you can expect a mysterious increase. You will experience a mysterious increase when you team up with Jesus. Amen. You can expect, amen. You see, because really, two fish and five loaves of bread really is insufficient. But when you include Jesus, but plus Jesus, thank you. When you add Jesus into the equation, I can't handle life. I can't handle my situation, but plus Jesus. See, you got to add everything in. You can't be, amen. You cannot just stop at you. You cannot just stop, amen, at what you have. You got to do plus Jesus. The disciples they never added in Jesus. All they thought about was what they didn't have. And so what happened was, is Jesus had to get them to understand, and that's where the miracle occurred. Amen. It didn't swell in his hand. Amen. It didn't do anything like that. It was not magic. Amen. This was a miracle. Amen. Jesus is not a magician. It was a miracle. You can't explain a miracle. But you can evaluate a miracle, and you can make a physical application, and the application is that if you be faithful over a few things, treat the relationship you got right. You may not have a whole family. Treat the piece of family you got right. Your husband may not treat. How are you treating what you already have? God said you're not ready for promotion because you can't work right there yet. When you and so he says that if I team up with Jesus, oh, we can expect to experience a mysterious increase. You can expect it. Now, when I talk about a mystery, we know that this is something that you can't explain. It is something that you can't figure out. It's something that's difficult in human terms to figure out. But when you team up with Jesus, you will find out that Jesus plus you is all you need. You see, the thing is, I'm going to get on out of here. The truth of the matter is, you have got to team up with Jesus. And if you team up with Jesus, you will find out that you will find out that there will be a mysterious increase. Amen. And I'm going to deal with this some more probably next week. The truth is that you look in the scriptures and you find out with those who teamed up with Jesus. And she and what happened is there was a miraculous thing that occurred. You can expect, amen, a mysterious increase when you team up with Jesus. You can express a mysterious increase when you trust. So you must team up. There must be trust. And he says, if you team up with Jesus, you and God are the majority. You don't need nobody's help. You don't need nobody's assistance. So you don't need nobody's support, whether you're unsupported or not. Jesus makes up for everything you're missing to give you the victory. Well, the fact of the matter is that you have got to team up with Jesus, and you've got to trust Jesus. Amen. You've got to trust Jesus. I'm thinking now about a woman that she teamed up with the Lord, and the woman of Zarephath. You remember her in 1 Kings chapter 17. In verse 10, she says, I don't have nothing, but I'm a widow woman. She says, all I got are two sticks, and I got a little flour, call it meal, and a little oil to cook the meal. And my son and I are going to take this little meal, And we are going to eat it. And after that, we expect to starve to death. And Elijah told us something. He said, you know, when it comes to trusting God, you got to be careful about fear. Elijah told her, fear not. Amen. I was ahead of it. Y'all didn't read that part, fear not. Amen. That's what he told her. He said, fear not. Elijah said, fear not. Amen. In verse 13 of 1 Kings 17, fear not. Because fear is not faith. Fear is the opposite of faith. Faith keeps you moving. Trusting in God keeps you going forward. Fear neutralizes you. And Elijah had to let her know, fear not. Amen. Don't fear. Now, he told her something very interesting, and we're going to come back and deal with it in verse 13. He said, make me a cake first. He said, this preacher done lost his mind. You're not coming before my kid, and I'm not promoting that. I'm just dealing with this. I don't. As the Lord liveth, if you feed me first, then what's going to happen, he said to this widow woman in verse 9, he says, if you do that, then you're going to find out that you won't run out of oil. You see, y'all baffled. The meal barrel in verse 16 will not go empty, and you will not run out of anything if you do this first. Because he says there is going to be a mysterious, you ain't going to be able to figure it out. It's going to be a mysterious increase. And not only that, in verse 14, he told her of 1 Kings 17 that he says that you are not only going to have oil and food today, but you're going to have oil and food every day until God sends rain. Now, I don't know, didn't record how long it took for the rain to come. But there were a drought going on. Elijah come on the scene and said, give me some of your water. Give me some of your food. Now, we're in a drought, and here this preacher is asking me, here this guy is, here this prophet is asking me. And he said, not only that, you're going to have enough until God sends rain. God has told me to tell you that you're going to have enough. And you know what happened? Verse 16, it says, the barrel of meal wasted not. That means it didn't go out, run dry. And the cruse of oil did not fail or did not run out. According to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. There was a mysterious increase when it came to this widow. And God didn't explain how it happened. It just said it didn't run out. I don't know. Every day I can't explain. You can't explain miracles. But if you only had a little to start out with, amen. I don't know. But however long it took, but you can expect a mysterious increase when you team up with God. When you trust God, because she had to trust God. This was a matter of trust. To do that, there had to be trust. And not only that, but there's a, and you ain't gonna like this one, there's a mysterious increase. I may just get a benediction so y'all can go to, I think I'll take this one next week. I'll just tell you about it. I'll give you a kind of like an introduction to it. When you tithe. Now, okay, don't hit me now. That's you didn't want that one in there, did you? I know. He said, bring all the tithes into the store with. Now, this is what he gave me. I'm not worried about the results. Bring y'all tithes in. If I will not open up the windows, so the windows of heaven are going to open up when I tithe. A lot of people don't even like it so much that they say, well, that's an Old Testament. They want to get rid of it. Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, this ye ought to have done. But you know, we're not going to get doctrinally into all this. But the truth is, deep into exegetical, explain exegesis well, not exegesis, to getting into this. I just want to simply say that he says, if you are faithful in tithe or in a 10%, he says, I will open up the windows of heaven. Now, he said it. And I'm going to pour you out a blessing. I'm not going to dip it out. I'm going to take a little. I'm not going to dip it. I'm not going to shovel it out. I'm going to pour. Now, he said it. You have to take it up with Jesus. Starting in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Take it up with him. I'm going to pour you out a blessing. And you won't even have room enough. There's going to be a mysterious increase on that 90% when you give me the 10%. I'm going to make you go further with the 90 than you would have with the 100. As a matter of fact, if you need the 100 instead of the 90, you're already in trouble. If you need 10% to bring you out, you already have some trouble. This is important. Jesus is saying, I want to position you to be prosperous. And the only way you're going to do that is you are going to have to be obedient. Amen. You're going to have to bring all, not part of the tithe into the storehouse and prove me where we say the Lord of hosts. And I will not open up the windows of heaven. And he said, I'm going to pour you out a blessing, not a blessings, because I can bless you with one thing that'll bless you with a whole lot of other stuff. It only takes one blessing to open up the avenue for all other blessings. But I'm just going to pour it out in your life when you do what God tells you to do. I am going to pour you out a blessing. Now, you're going to have some haters when you get blessed. Matter of fact, people hate you before you get blessed. They see you getting blessed and they say, I'm going to cut him off. I'm going to make sure it don't ever happen. First of all, I'm going to cut off the blessing. Amen. But I'll tell you a little something about that next week. But the truth of the matter is that you ought to be willing to get involved if you want to be prosperous. And I'm not speaking about prosperity in the sense of so many saying the health and wealth or movement. I'm talking about, you see, if you're going to be blessed by God, number one, you got to be a Christian. You got to love the Lord. There must be a love for the Lord. And then secondly, you must put him first. And thirdly, your motivation got to be right. Your motive can't ever be to get blessed. God bless folk who are not trying to be blessed. He just bless you for doing your work, doing his will. And then the blessing, your motive. And so what we got to understand here is simply that God wants to pour you out a blessing. And you will not have room enough to receive it. And the problem is that we are mastered by our money. Our money is our master instead of our servant. You see, you're supposed to use money, not worship it. And money, for many people, have become their master. So they don't even give to the church. But I'm going to give to the church because the church is the only thing that's going to outlast the world. When everything is over, you can't invest into a church, into the Lord's work. Only what you do for Christ is going to last. The church is the only place that is going to outlast the world. When it's all over, the church, the investment into the church of God is an eternal investment. And I'm here to tell you this morning that God is here to make sure that you understand that I'm going to pour you out a blessing that you'll not have room enough to. There's going to be a mysterious increase. God is going to bless you in amount. Amen. He's going to bless you in. It can be increase in size. It can be an increase in degree. God says, I will bless you. If you open, I will open the windows of heaven, Malachi says, and pour you out a blessing, and you'll not have room enough to receive it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know this morning that Jesus, the old people said it plain, didn't they? They said, God moves in mysterious ways.
I got a destination in my view. The road may be bumpy getting there, but I'm pressing through.
Yeah.
I will enjoy this journey, no matter come what may.
Yeah.
I'll become better and stronger and wiser every day.